Welcome back. 1 year ago, Cardinals manager Tony La Russa was probably grinding his teeth as his team was fighting for a chance to play in the postseason. St. Louisans are well familiar with a spectacular, though improbable, finish, the playoffs and the World Series victory, of course. Tony's written all about it in his new book, One Last Strike, 50 Years in Baseball, 10 and a Half Games Back, and One Final Championship. It's co-authored by Rick Hummel, Baseball Hall of Fame Post-Dispatch baseball writer. Tony, it's so nice to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm so appreciative of being here.
You know, Tony, I know people in this town welcome the chance to review that wonderful end of season last season, but I'm wondering what this book has for people in other cities with other teams.
That's a good question, because I don't think there's any question that St. Louis Cardinal fans will embrace us, because it does retell in a lot of detail. But I have had others that looked at the draft. Howard Schultz, for example, from Starbucks, he thought there was a lot of leadership points which can apply any place, including places beyond sports. The history of, if I mentioned a strategy or a philosophy, the publishers encouraged me to make the ad, attribute it to where I learned it, because I didn't figure this by myself. So there's a lot of relating to historical figures in and out of sports. And I think there's the lesson of chemistry and team applies, the toughness that our team and never give up. I think all that applies beyond the Cardinal fans.
How much difference does a manager really make? I mean, you don't go out there and swing the bat, and in your case, as a 199 lifetime hitter, maybe that's a good idea. But the manager really calls some shots. But how much of a difference does that really make, do you think? And how many games does a manager win?
I remember in the old days, the old managers, they would say, well, I'm good for 5, 10. Yeah. And some of the great ones thought, well, I'm 17 or 18. We, you know, as a staff, we've looked at that. And I think the players are the game. It's our players against their players. Their coaching staff, their manager, they're doing the same things we're trying to do, which is put the players in a position to succeed. So most of what you do is prior to the game and tweaking during the game. The only thing a manager does is you do make decisions during the game. There are strategies about defense here and bunt and all that stuff, but the most important thing you do is handle the bullpen, and it's to be judged whether some guys handle the bullpen better than others. So I think it's my answer is, as a coaching staff, we're involved with the team every day, all year. And if we have a good year, we've contributed, but we are never the show, they're the show.
Well, how about those last 30 games in the regular season last year? How many of those games do you think Tony La Russa won?
I didn't win any of them. Our team won, but it was unusual. In fact, the main reason our players had made a pledge to play with an urgency in the competition. In the end, you know, you can get pretty, you can get distracted by fame and fortune, but the reason you're in uniform is just to play a game of baseball against the other team. There's a score. And our team really embraced that, and there at the end in August, things got a little hazy, and we reconnected, and then we made this run. And at first, we were just kind of, we want to reestablish that we were going to give it the gung-ho effort, and we got closer and closer. The only thing that I think was unusual, because we felt that most of our starting pitchers had been taxed, we made a lot of bullpen changes during the game in the last 30 and throughout the playoffs. That, by definition, means that the pitching coach and the manager are more actively involved in the game decision-making, but it's still them.
One of the things you did was build your pitching rotation from the last game backwards, which was, I think, considered by a lot of people to be the stroke that might have made a huge difference.
Well, we had made this team decision that we had 32 left. We were 10 and a half back, and we were going to go series to series, and we were going to get where we had been for 5 months. I mean, it was really dramatic. In fact, a lot of this book sounds fictional-like, but it's all compelling, all true. And I thought, well, as a staff and myself as someone that sets up the rotation, I was going to make sure that if they were going to do their best. So I went back and looked at the 32 games, and I started with the last game, and you want Carpenter to pitch it. And I tried to plug Carpenter in as often as I could. And then the key part about that, we had Jackson, who we thought was strong. We had Westbrook. We thought that Loesch and Garcia had really been pushed, and their stamina was at issue. If we could give them rest, it would help. So you did all that maneuvering, and Turned out all right.
And that's the manager who's making those calls, needless to say.
Along with the pitching coach.
Yeah. And that's a whole other section of the book with regard to Dave Duncan, your relationship, and the problems that he had at the end of the
right.
season, the personal problems. How difficult is it to manage millionaires?
It can be a real problem. You can be what's the word that I'm searching for? It can make you feel like, you know, they're at a separate place and you can get distracted from your responsibility. Think about it. The owner, the general manager, they give you the leadership of the team. As the manager, you're supposed to set certain philosophies, certain leadership points to follow. If you ever shirk that responsibility, you're not doing your job. So if somebody walks in who's making more money, has more time, more fame and fortune, and you're cowed by their presence, well, you're not going to take charge. So what you need to do more than anything else is, you remember, you have the office, they have the locker, and you want to be able to do the best you can to lead. And, you know, and players, no matter who they are, I mean, they're just big kids, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but they want to be told, look, this is what we're going to do today, this is how we're going to do it, then just let us play. So there's a role for us, and you can get intimidated by that situation and back off what you think is right.
They don't call them the boys of summer for no reason. Is that right?
That's very accurate.
I know. We have limited time, but I know there are people in the audience who would like to say hi to you and maybe have a question or two, so I'll give that number, 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. If you'd like to talk to Tony La Russa, you can do it that way. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Send us a tweet. And if you'd like to reach us through Facebook, you can do it that way, too. Is there any sense of deja vu, Tony, with regard to what's going on this season right now with this year's team?
It's incredible, actually. Yeah. And part of it is this late season run, and right now it's looking better than it ever did for us because they're ahead for that second wild card spot, and we kept chasing it. But the deja vu especially is Braves and the Cardinals. And if they hold their positions, which I think – I mean, the Braves are in, but if the Cardinals hold it, which I think they will – next Friday, a week from Friday, they're going to play this one-game playoff. Well, last year, the last day of the season, we were tied. If we had both won or both lost, we'd have come to St. Louis to play a one-game playoff. Mm-hmm. Turns out we won, they lost, so we avoided that. So there's a lot of deja vu, and I know there's a lot of angst among our fans because it seems like yesterday they lost 2-0. It's a game that they should have won. But it's really difficult to close the deal, and we should all remember it's really a tough game, and the other team tries to beat you. It's not easy.
Well, it's a great thing for baseball, isn't it? Are you a fan of this new playoff setup?
I really am. In fact, that scenario came about from this 14-man committee that the commissioner set up. I'm part of it, and we wanted to make winning the division more precious and more of an advantage, and now it is. And we had the second wild card to make it one more hoop that the wild card has to go through. Last year we won as a wild card. Too many times the wild card was not disadvantaged enough. So I think it's working great.
Is there going to be a role for Tony La Russa in baseball in the future? I know you get this question all the time, probably not managing, but they talk about front office possibilities.
Well, I've been asked, and people look at me, well, you can't be serious after all these years. Yeah. I have not missed the dugout at all, but I missed the competition. You know, as the lousy player that I was for 17 and managing for 33, you know, that's 50 years where you wake up during the season and there's a score at the end of the game, and you're either happy or sad. I'm very fortunate the commissioner has given me a job as his assistant for assignment, so I get around the game. I like that, but missing the competition, it won't be in the dugout. I think at some point I'll join a team upstairs somewhere.
Yeah. Your old buddy Albert Pujols has fallen off a little bit this year, although most players I think would probably like to have the year he's having anyway. How do you explain that? He's not doing quite as well as we're used to seeing.
Well, he got off to a slow start. I mean, now the home runs and the RBIs are there like they were last year, but the batting average is down. You know, because living in California, I actually saw him several times during the early times. It was clear to me that he was pressing. He was trying to prove to everybody. And even as great and as experienced as he is, he needed to back off a little bit, not force it. And he's come up to where he's having a solid season. Only his average is down some.
Were you disappointed that he left St. Louis?
Yes and no. You know, that's come up. We've thought about it so many times. The system is really at fault, in my opinion. The Cardinals, this is what they can offer, and it'd be crazy to go beyond it, and they couldn't. Albert tried to make a sacrifice, but it still wasn't big enough. And then, I mean, look, you know, somebody offers you that. I think it's a system. I was quoted yesterday. I did a couple of interviews. If I'd have stayed, I'd have tried to get the Cardinals to do a little more, and Albert to take I doubt if it would have worked.
Yeah, I think a lot of people say, how much money does a guy need? But that's a discussion between me and Albert Pujols, not for you to answer. Let's take a call or two. Greg in Overland, thanks for waiting. You're on the air with Tony La Russa.
Thank you very much. You having had previous American League experience, you saw Ivan Rodriguez in the first half of his career. I never did. Would you compare he and Yadier? I think Yadier is the best I ever saw. And for that matter, would you throw bench in there and compare the three? Thank you.
Great question. I mean, you talk about bench and Rodriguez. You're talking about exceptional athletes. I put Carlton Fisk in there. I mean, these guys were really athletic. Rodriguez and bench really had great arms, and they were solid offensive players. And I'm probably biased, but in my 50 years, when you put the whole package together, the great catching in all department, all ways that a catcher can be great defensively, and as a hitter, I think Yadier Molina is the best catcher I have ever seen, and I can't tell you how much I enjoyed watching him play. And this year, his average shows it. But I would put Yadier as the best I've ever seen.
That's quite a statement. A lot of people thought that he might fall off a little bit this year because he was so close with Pujols, so that might have an effect. But if it did anything, it did just the opposite.
Well, he is very close, and I worried about that as well. He was unhappy. Albro's unhappy because they have a great friendship, brotherhood-like. But, both of them are so strong, have so much integrity in their professional competence that Yadi is never going to be beaten and would never embarrass himself, and he is having a great season, an MVP-type season.
Let's take another call. Charlie will join us. Charlie, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Mr. La Russa, let me just thank you for all the great memories and great baseball that you brought to our city. And I just don't think you'll ever know through all the criticism that you did here through a lot of the talk radio people and stuff like that. As fans, if you don't understand what Tony La Russa did for the city in baseball with all them games, you know, that in the postseason and all that excitement, you're going to go down in history. You'll be remembered forever. And that's for me and my dog who's with me driving around St. Louis right now.
Well, I appreciate that, and believe me, I enjoyed it as much as you say that you guys have enjoyed it. I make no bones, but I love Chicago, and I manage there. Oakland is my home, but there is something about the Cardinals, the Cardinal fans, the Cardinal history. It's a real privilege, actually, to put that uniform on, and the biggest kick I got was the true fun enjoyment that our fans would get when we would have a year like last year. So you guys gave it back to me more than I ever gave you.
The fact that Charlie is traveling with his dog, I'm sure, is something that you approve of as well.
Absolutely.
Your work still pretty much involved in that world, the ARF world, if you will.
The ARF world. Well, our family, that's our passion. And as the players have accused me of many times, I work harder for them than I do for the animals in ARF than I do for the players.
You know, you talk about the St. Louis fans and how great it was for them last year. It changes a city. There's no question about that going through that. But what about your relationship with the fans? You know, I've sensed at times the fans, you know, aren't 100% there for Tony La Russa, primarily because you didn't live here.
I think that was a real issue. I mean, there's a Midwestern culture. You know, you hunt, you eat meat. I'm a vegetarian. I don't hunt. I have my friends that say, you know, I put my arms around trees and I kiss Bambi. Well, and I came in at a very difficult time. You know, the first year Ozzy was the last year he played, and there was some disgruntled that still continues. So I think they had a tough time reading me. And, in fact, I don't think I could have survived had it not been for two men, Jack Buck and Mike Shannon, because they were so well-respected. I think they believed in me early, and they gave fans a pause. Well, wait a minute, before we actually hang this guy by noose in effigy, let's keep a little open mind. I really believe that I think it was 2002, the Darryl Cowell death year. The fans saw how personal our style of coaching is, our coaches and myself. And I think I felt the difference from the fans you know, the last 10 years I've been here.
We had Buzz Bissinger in the studio a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him the same question because obviously he spent a lot of time with you and Three Nights in August. And I said, you know, what is it? What's the problem there? And he said, I don't know. He said, Tony La Russa is one of the finest people that I've ever met in my life, and you're not going to find anybody better. So he certainly gave you a wild endorsement here in the studio, which I'm sure you would appreciate.
Well, I do. And he wrote a great book, and that book was his genius. This is a different type of, believe me, the writing by me, although Rick definitely helped it, will not be the same quality. But, you know, there's a perception there. And we had a really good example from Lance Berkman. He came over last year early on and admitted after about a month that he always wanted to punch me because as a competitor— You know, he always saw me not smiling. I really wasn't endearing myself to the other side because we really concentrated on our family. Later on, when we won the championship, he's the guy that picked me up and hugged me. So when he retired the other day, I said, would you rather hug me or punch me? And he admitted hugging. So I can understand that, you know, we're not real public because it's a player's game. But I think over the years, the thing I treasure the most are the relationships with the players.
Only a few seconds left. Some critics of the book, and there have been some, say that there's not enough detail about the real people, the players. Is that part of the code? You really can't get too deeply into personalities.
You know,
we only have about 10 seconds.
I've read that, and the problem is the book is 400 pages long, and we tried to tell the story. We tried to mix in some, and we couldn't do it all. I think it could have been more development there, but it would have been less of something else.
Well, maybe this is a prequel. we'll look for the sequel. Tony La Russa, one last strike, 50 years in baseball, 10 and a half games back, and one final championship season. Tony, thanks so much for being with us. Good luck with the book.
I can't thank you enough for letting me be here.
Great to see you. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, and he'll talk with St. Louis Chamber Chorus Artistic Director Philip Barnes, the author of a book about the art collections of Joseph Pulitzer and the French guitarist Gail Solal. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at youth violence in St. Louis, East St. Louis. Archive versions of past St. Louis On Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. This is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.